voice crying in the wilderness. His birth was a miracle. Zacharias had a vision concerning John, talking about all that John was going to do later on in his life. As a matter of fact, now you're here in John chapter 3. Go with me to John chapter 1 again. We were there this morning. We were in Luke 1, weren't we? John chapter number 1 and verse number... I'll get my mind right in a minute. Let's go to Luke chapter number 1. That's right here in my notes, plainly, Wendell. I was not like this last week because you were not here, but I am now. All right? Luke chapter number 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Luke 1. Look at it toward the end of it and see once again the prophecy that his father had about him. And look at verse number 76. Thou child shall be called the prophet of the highest. Man, what an accolade. What a prediction. What a proclamation. And then he also says in verse number 76, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. He was the messenger proclaiming Jesus the Messiah is coming. And then in verse number 77, notice what he was to say, to give knowledge of salvation unto his sins or unto his people by the remission of their sins. His message was to bring salvation. John's goal was that Christ must increase and he must decrease. Write this down somewhere unless you've got a photographic memory. But think on these words. I will never think highly of myself until I think lowly of others. I will never think highly of myself until I first think lowly of others. And that's what arrogance is. And you go through the book of Proverbs and you can see it in several passages. But I will never think highly of myself until I think lowly of others. And what does the Bible encourage us? To think highly of others. Why? Because the Bible knows that whenever I'm thinking highly of somebody else, guess how I put myself in perspective? I then am willing to humble myself. I'm willing to think of myself as lowly. Now, lowly doesn't mean, you know, worse off or anything like that. Just the idea means that they're important. In fact, they're more important than I am. John says, Jesus must increase, but before that can ever happen, I must decrease. I will never think highly of myself until I first think lowly of others. Three thoughts tonight. I won't keep you long tonight. I know it's Mother's Day. I know that for many of you, it's kind of your first time back in services for a little bit, and we're kind of getting used to it a little bit. New hairstyle, new everything, right? Yeah, some of you are like, yeah, I know, I'm still not used to it. So now the wig will come off soon. But yeah, three thoughts tonight. Number one thought is this. John's decision was biblical. John's decision was biblical. Turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 40. Let's go to Old Testament. Let's see where all this kind of begins and originates. Isaiah chapter 40. I'll get it in a minute, all right? Isaiah chapter 40, not John 40, Isaiah 40, page 727 of my Bible. John's decision was biblical. Notice a couple faults here in this passage. Begin in verse number 3. Verse number 3 is the proclamation, the look forward to John the Baptist. It's the prophecy of this man, John. Notice the wording. It says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And then you go right on through this, and it says, the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord broweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Back at verse number 3. the voice of Him that cried. This voice, John's voice, he was that voice. His voice was to announce the coming of the Savior. His voice was to announce the seriousness of sin. His voice was to announce the glory of God. Remember this. The voice fades away, but the Word is here forever. John was the voice, but Jesus is the Word. John was proclaiming that Jesus, the Word of God, Christ is coming as the Word of God. A voice is heard and it's gone, but a Word remains after the voice is silent. You see the Word pictures there. John came to bear witness of the light of the world. John's decision was not only biblical, it had to happen just like this, because that's what the Bible said. But number two tonight, John's decision to follow humility, to exercise humility, to bow down in humility, to decrease so that Christ could increase. John's decision was based not on how good he was or how great he was going to be, but his decision was based on who Jesus was, on the deity of Christ. Now go back with me to the Gospel of John. John chapter number 1. John 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John 1. And let's see some things that this voice now, the voice that was prophesied in the book of Isaiah. Now this voice has walked onto the scene about the time that Christ is beginning to make Himself known. And you see all the things about John. Look at it in verse number 6. John chapter number 1, verse number 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. How sad that is. What a sad statement. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Wow, another powerfully sad statement. But, now, the picture changes now. The word changes here. But, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So John's decision was based on the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's based on who Jesus was. Notice a couple things that John says about Jesus. Look at it in verse number 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." Well, John's older than he is. John's 6 months older than Jesus. But here's what John's saying. Jesus existed before I ever existed. You know what he's saying? This man, Jesus, he's the Son of God. You know what John recognized over and over and over and over again? Jesus was and is God. You know what will help you and I in our walk? What will help keep us away from pride and help keep us to be humble? You know what will help us to decrease so that He may increase? Keep on remembering that Jesus is God. Don't ever forget that Jesus is God. Notice, he says in verse number 16, he says, "And of His fullness have we all received, and grace for grace." Verse number 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You know what he said about him here? He says, "I want you folks to know something. I want you Jews to know something. Jesus is superior to Moses." You know what he's saying? All that you've ever known, it pales in comparison to how great Jesus is. Not only should we remember that Jesus is God, but we should remember that Jesus is great and mighty, and far above all else. John proclaimed that. Notice what he says in verse number 18. "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, hath declared Him." Now, he is saying all of this. He says, "I want you to know something. Jesus existed before I did." And some of them probably scratched their head thinking, "But you're the older." And he says, I want you to know something. Jesus is superior to Moses. Probably I'm thinking, what? And now he says this. I want you to know something. This Jesus will show you the Father like you've never seen Him before. He's the fulfillment of all that you've been looking for. John, his decision was based on who Jesus was, the deity of Jesus Christ. John said Jesus was good and He was God and that He was greater than any that had ever known. John said Jesus held a higher position than anything that had ever known. He saw Jesus fulfilling all of the Old Testament sacrifices. And look on down as he goes me to about verse number 25. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize water with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. Boy, I thought about that this afternoon. There standeth one among you whom you know not. May we recognize Jesus whenever He's in our midst. How sad this is, how often we miss what Jesus wants us to do in our lives. We don't recognize when God is working. We don't recognize whenever Jesus is doing something. You know not. But aside from that, that was just free. That was a thought. He says, notice this. He says, He it is whose coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. He says, these things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. Now verse number 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin. Notice it's singular. He covers all of it. The sin of the world. This is He of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for He was before me. Over and over again, He says this, Jesus is the one. Jesus is good. Jesus is greater. Jesus is God. Jesus is preferred before me. Jesus takes away the sin of the whole world. Yet they knew Him not. You know what John was doing over and over and over again in his ministry? He was making the decision to remain humble. He was making the decision that no matter what was going on, he was going to glorify God. And boy, what a great decision that would be for us. He identified Jesus as the one to take away our sins. So, three thoughts tonight. Number one thought is this. John's decision was biblical. You better write them down, Wendell. You'll miss them, I'm telling you. I'm almost finished. You're not going to believe, but I'm already on the third point. John's decision, but there have five more to go after this. I'm joking with you about writing it down. You're listening and you're almost awake. John's decision was biblical. You know, it was based on the Word of God, but his decision was also based on the deity of Christ. But number three, this is the last one. John's decision was best for those that followed him. You know what? Everyone in this room have somebody follow you. Everybody. You say, well, see, Andrew, who's the youngest? Caitlin, you're youngest? Colby is. Colby's the youngest one in the auditorium right now. Do you realize that Colby has someone that follows him? Actually, this morning, he had two someone follow him. Ellie and Braden. Who's following you? John's decision was not only based on the Word of God, not only made because Jesus is God, but John's decision was best for those who followed him. You know, it's important that you and I make the right decision in this area of pride and humility. Because there's somebody following us. Or somebody watching us. Go with me to John chapter 3. John 3. Let's read through a couple verses here. John 3. John 3. Let's pick it up about verse number 26. Verse 25 is actually the beginning of the paragraph. But we'll start in verse 26, Josh, all right? So, verse 26, and they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizes, and all men come to him. Can you sense the opportunity for the devil to get in all of this right here? Can you see right here that, boy, I got an idea the devil was rubbing his hands. He was thinking, I've got him set up. We got him set up. But remember where we're at now. We're John chapter 3. At this point, John had already made his decision, and John had already been living out his decisions to remain humble and to put Jesus first. Over and over again, he'd been doing that. Notice what happens now. John answered and said, what do you mean he's baptizing and everybody's following? Amen. Yeah, amen. No, that's not what he says. Aren't you glad he didn't say that? And all God's people said, amen. Because John was a powerful preacher, but he loved God. And notice what he says. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. You know what he's saying? That's okay. If that's what God chooses to do, that's okay. Well, this right here would probably be a good portion of Scripture to preach on in a preacher's fellowship right here. Because, boy, it could have really stirred up. Hey, hear about that one over there growing and that one. And that's okay. God's going to bless. And I'm thankful that He is. Well, you can just sense John and this kindness here. There's something about this. And every time I picture John, I think of a burly fella. I think of a fella, his dress and his mannerisms and his diet. But I just see and sense kindness coming out of this. I'm so grateful for the characters that God puts in the Word of God that you and I can imitate and follow after. And he says here in verse number 28, he said, ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He says, listen, you guys were listening before. You know what I was saying. Here's what I'm telling you. John takes this moment that could have been a moment of destruction, a moment that the devil could have got the upper hand, a moment that the eyes of everybody could have been taken off of Jesus and been put back on John. And John is transferring everybody toward Jesus. And here's what he's saying. He said, I want you to know something. God's in charge of everything. You can't have that unless it's coming down from heaven. And then I see this. Here's what he says. I'm not the Christ. Remember what the Bible says? The voice. Maybe it's time for the voice to begin to fade away. For the Word to come along. Verse number 28 and 29, it says, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He says, listen, I'm the one that was sent before him. I'm the one that was supposed to introduce him. And then John says, I want to tell you about the bride and the bridegroom. He says, you see that man Jesus, the one that you're talking about? He's the bridegroom. I'm the friend of the bride. In today's vernacular, this would be like, you see that man Jesus, he's the groom, and I'm the best man. In weddings, the pastor stands, the groom, thank you for that. I thought, what do we call him? I just said it. But the groom stands here and the best man. Whenever the bride begins to walk down the aisle, guess who kind of fades away? The best man does. You know why? Because it's all about the bride and about the groom. You know what John says? You see that man Jesus? He's the groom. The church, the saved, the redeemed are going to be his bride. All I'm here to do is to introduce you to the groom. And then he just kind of quietly fades right off the scene. And that's what we see happening here in the life of John the Baptist. I wrote in my notes, others are helped when John gives Jesus first place. Others are helped in my life when I give, when you give Jesus first place. And then I wrote another thought, because I was thinking about the best man and the groom. The best man steps aside so that the groom can marry the bride. And we're dealing with humility, so here's the thought. Is my pride keeping someone from coming to Jesus? Does Jesus have first place in my life? Has there ever been a time where I've said, He must increase and I must decrease? We humans, we long to have a place of honor and praise. But that's not for us. That's for Jesus. In some of our marriages, we grow stronger if we just decreased. Some of our families, he made stronger if we just decreased. Am I willing to decrease so that Jesus can increase? What about you? Well, this is something I think many of us struggle with. Remember, we would never think highly of ourselves until we think lowly of others. Help us to highly exalt one another. And that'll help keep pride away. John made some great decisions. One of the greatest decisions he made, and I believe it was under the influence of a godly mother, was to remain humble. He very easily could have allowed pride. And we see several indications, several places in the gospel where there are interactions with John that pride could have got in and the devil could have got in. But over and over again, John chose humility. That didn't make him any less of a man. My goodness, he was John the Baptist. But it made him a greater man of God. God help us to do that this week in our lives. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Told you we're going to.